Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer here, coming at you strong with episode number 4 of Altered State. Guys, joining me is my very good friend, one of my daughters in the Lord, somebody I love with all my heart, Miss Connie Jenkins. How are you doing, Ladybug?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, it's good to see you today. I'm excited about today's broadcast.
It's going to be really good.
Man, I hope that you guys have been enjoying this, because we sure enjoy talking about spiritual warfare, because we have a different spin on it. And I really want you guys to go to odx.tv and look up the other 3 episodes. So they're typically about an hour and a half long, and I promise you they are power-packed. And we have already been covering all kinds of subjects of angels and demons. And today, guys, we're actually going to get into the difference between authority, what is authority, and what is power, and which one is greater. And how do you achieve power, and how do you achieve authority, and is there any achievement necessary, and how does all that work? Because in these last days, guys, we have to have powerful, powerful, powerful faith. Now, before I get started here, I want to remind everybody that if you're watching this on YouTube, hey, listen, if you haven't already subscribed to us, please go ahead and join the 190,000 people that already have, and hit that button and subscribe to this, because not only will you be getting all of my Altered State material, but also to my weekly messages right here from Open Door Church. And then, of course, our podcast, which I'm trying to think the name of our podcast,
The Pulse.
Wow. There you go. Help me. A little Joe Biden right there. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Yeah. A little bit of spirit of Joe Biden. But anyway, so good to see Diane is here and Ashton Carter is here. Hey, Ashton, I understand that you just had a really cool prophetic dream, and I need to hear about your prophetic dream. So good to hear. So good to see Mary Sizemore. Renee Summers is here. And guys, again, before we start talking about power and authority, we have a lot. There's 2 things I want to do first. The first thing I want to tell you is that we are somewhere, is so much out there. We, in talking to the attorney generals of various states in Mexico, we know where we can bust a bunch of rings. We know where we can deal with a bunch of bad guys. We know how to do that. We have the full government support. We are actually supporting the government on those things, but there's no place to turn them over to. They can't turn them over to girls' homes. And so the only alternative that they have is to actually put those boys in jail. And it's not good when boys go into the jail system. And so we're trying to stop all that. Hey, would you please consider helping us? Simply go to troybrewer.com and give today. And is there not a cause, as King David said, if we know that we can rescue these kids, and if we know that we can rescue them, and if we can have a $1 million building built for only $300,000, we should do that. Let's you and I partner together today. Go to troybrewer.com, or you can call us at 877-413-0888. Okay, Miss Connie, I do have to say something about the Charlie Kirk funeral.
Yes, of course.
Because honestly, before we get off into this subject matter, I want to just tell you, there's over 1 billion people have seen that funeral. And Shay was actually there. She's just off camera right over here. Shay was there. She brought me a cool Charlie Kirk poster that she got from the VIP section, because she's hoity-toity. Woo,
miss.
Yeah, thanks to me, you dang Skippy. But honestly, y'all, man, really and truly, the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached. The heart of King Jesus was demonstrated. The fact that the church are the good guys was demonstrated, and also to the reality of a unified church is the only answer for a divided nation was seen and demonstrated yesterday. And then, my goodness, Erica got up there and declared, "I forgive you," to the monster, the liberal punk that ended the life, the demoniac who sleeps with another boy who pretends he's an animal. That's the kind of people we're dealing with when we're dealing with the enemy here. And make no mistake about it, friends. They are the enemy. They are the enemy. Now, make no mistake about this. They can be saved just like any of the rest of us can. And those demons that are in them can be cast out. And they can actually join the right side if we're willing to preach the gospel of Jesus and don't pander to them. Do not play their games within their sandbox, and actually declare light in the midst of that darkness. Well, I'm telling you right now, that happened. It happened yesterday in a really cool way, and I was blown away. It's amazing to me. I never in my years did I ever imagine, Miss Connie, that we would see The top officials of the government administration get up and preach the name of Jesus publicly.
Amazing. Like it's like a dream come true. And it's so cool you just said that. I just saw a comment that said the same thing. And like the entire cabinet getting up and preaching the gospel boldly is just insane. Yeah. It's crazy.
We never see anything like
it. It's a different spirit that's been released in the nation, especially coming off of the heels of COVID and the spirit of fear and them masking the voice of the church and the voice of the people.
Yes.
It's a whole new era.
It is a whole new era. And all of this happened prophetically on the last day of the Hebrew year.
Wow.
You know? And so tonight is the night that it all starts. Rosh Hashanah starts tonight. And starts tonight and it goes on for the next 2 days. Tomorrow, we're doing a special episode of The Pulse just upon Rosh Hashanah and the year 5786.
That's awesome.
But it was the last day of the year. Okay. If I had a dream and if America was mourning and if the gospel of Jesus Christ was being preached to 1 billion people all at once, and if that happened on the last day of the year, moving into a new year, would I know what that I would totally understand it. And I want to tell you guys, it's not a dream. This is your headlines that's taking place right now, and it's happening right now. We woke up to a very different America today, and this is the America I want to live in. And for all of my critics and for all of you guys that are on the wrong side of thing, and you know, you're a grown man and you want to sleep with another boy who pretends he's an animal, and all this kind of madness, I want to just tell you this. You have ranted and raved and said that if Christians got their way, it would be the end of our nation. No, it would be the end of your shenanigans being legitimized. And we're not going to do it. We're not going to play that game anymore. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to answer evil with goodness, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. So I'm very grateful for that. I've got some quotes here, and I'm amazed. I want you guys to read. I want you guys just to listen to some of these quotes here. This is, it says, the tyrant dies and his rule is over. The martyr dies and his rule has just begun. That's Mickey McCoy. He's Charlie's coworker, and he's quoting some guy that I cannot say his name, and a 19th century Danish philosopher and theologian. Here's another one. Charlie Kirk said, courage requires only a yes.
Wow.
You know, I love something that he said, and it was said in one of his videos. The great thing about courage is it doesn't require any skills.
Oh, that's awesome.
You don't have to have any skill set. If you do not have courage, it's simply because you do not have a yes. Benny Johnson said, evil thought that there'd be a funeral here today, but God has created a revival in this house right now. Ben Carson, one of the greatest human beings. I honestly fear the Lord when I think about Ben Carson. I just like, man, I want to be such a better man when I think about Ben Carson. And it's honestly, if I can just tell y'all the truth, ever since Charlie has died, I have been asking my wife, how can I be a better husband? I've been asking all my team, all the girls that work close to me, and all the guys that work close to me, how can I be a better boss? How can I be a better pastor? I've been talking to all my pastors. How can I be a better pastor? I met with everybody the other morning before church. We had our 8 o'clock meeting. And I said, guys, we know that the Lord has this. He would say, I love how you do this. I love concerning of our church. But if Jesus said, but this I have against you, what would Jesus say about this church? And everybody was like, whoa. I'm like, I want to know what that is. He doesn't have to say this I have against you. There's two churches that he didn't say that to.
Right
on. But if he was, I want to know what those things are.
Yes, again, it's better to know.
Oh, it's good to know, little girl. It's good to know, man. I promise you that. And I'm just like constantly, anyway, I'm looking at all this. But Ben Carson said, have you noticed many preachers do not want to preach the real gospel if it's counter the social gospel? Freaking Ben Carson.
Gosh.
You cannot be the land of the free if you're not the home of the brave. You have to stand up for what you believe in.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Now, look, I don't have any tattoos, but I might just get that tatted. Now, I don't have any tattoos, not because I'm totally against tattoos, but I don't have any tattoos because I'm so fat my real estate changes and I don't trust it. All right, here's another one. So It's like, come on, you got to think that's funny. I'm surrounded by girls, and I don't say anything about being fat. Oh, give me a break. No, I think that's hilarious. What did you think of that, man? Wasn't that funny? Listen, man. Listen, one word will change drastically over the years if it's not placed in the right part of my body. That is true. All right, so Sergio Gore said this. Charlie didn't just step into the fight. He ran towards it. Tucker Carlson, whatever happens next in America, I hope it's in this direction. Tulsi Gabbard. Oh, Tulsi Gabbard. Oh, I love her.
She's amazing.
Oh, I love her so much, man. She looks like a Marvel comic superhero. She's
with
got that cool
streak, yeah.
Streak. Like, man, she looks like an X-Man. All right. Says this, she said, by trying to silence Charlie, his voice is now louder than ever. RFK, friendship is the best evidence that God loves all of us.
Oh, whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Donald Trump, which, you know, he got up. He's so Trump, man.
Always.
Oh, Donald Trump Jr. got me too, and got up and preached the gospel. Did not expect that. He was funny. Okay, we are all here to celebrate the way he lived his life. He also said this. Donald Trump Jr. said, our message of faith, family, and country will not be silenced. So all of this was canceled a few years back, and now it's mainstream. Mm-hmm. It is everywhere, because this was not human beings' ideas. This was the will of God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
And I appreciate
it. Upon the church to take responsibility and to get behind it. There were so many times during the previous administration and coming into the new one where the church kind of just dropped the ball and we kind of just failed on a lot of things. And it's just the church as a whole. I know that there were individual churches that were about it and that were passionate and that were zealous for the Lord in the name of the Lord. But I hope that this teaches the church a lesson that we don't have the chance. We don't have the privilege to be lax in our faith.
I saw a real ugly website last week that broke my heart, because somebody got on there and said, Troy Brewer acts like he's for all this, but he actually didn't say one thing about Charlie Kirk after he was assassinated. And there was hundreds and hundreds of people saying how disappointed they were in me and how that they would never be a part of my ministry again and all this kind of, and which it just wasn't true.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
It wasn't true. And I even led the vigil. I even led the prayer at the vigil down there. And the fact, when I got at the priest that morning, I got up and I said, I know that there's a lot of pansy pastors that don't want me to say this, but I said, Charlie Kirk. And then I was actually accused of just dismissing it and going about the, and
you also had a special broadcast.
I had a special broadcast about it, yada, yada. But with all that said, I'm amazed at how many Christians jumped on the bandwagon and didn't check it out. And I'm like, yeah, they're such sheep and they're so easily led astray. And I want to tell you, if I can just be very honest, those are Christians that don't go to church. Those are Christians that do not have pastors. Those are Christians that you just flee vote. You literally have scrolling faith.
Wow.
And man, you need to get into a community. You need to get into a church. You need to find some true leadership within your life, or you're going to be like sheep scattered without a shepherd. And the Lord has compassion on you. He feels sorry for you. And I just want to encourage everybody, hey, listen, you could add, I don't know where you're watching from, but man, you could add so much to a local church. I'm talking about you. You could add so much to it. And I want to encourage you guys, do what Erica said and get your butt in church this coming Sunday and get out there and say, no, I'm a part of the body of Jesus. And I realize that this thing is flawed and I realize that there's problems with it. And I realize all that, and too bad, so sad. I this is the world that I live in, and I have to be impactful. And the Lord needs to be able to trust me with that. And I love that. Well, I got a bunch of other quotes here, but I love that J.D. Vance said, put on the full armor of God and get back to work.
Amen.
Yeah, it was so good.
So good.
So
yeah.
I praise God. I'm very, very happy about it. And I praise the Lord for it. Me and Leanna watched it this morning. We sat on my back porch and I just got to spend a whole morning with Leanna this morning. It was just so beautiful. You know, Connie, she just is something, man.
She is amazing.
I'm telling you.
She's
not a normal woman, man.
No.
She is. I love her so much. And she's telling me about all the kids she rescued. And she just cried and cried and cried, not in sadness, but just over the goodness of God and the work that we're doing all over the world and the team that was with us. And this guy right here, which I don't know. I haven't been looking at the feed, but one of my sons, his name is Frank, and we rescued him when he was a little boy, and he is about to be a lawyer. And he made this for me, and it says he's making these things now.
That's
because
so cool.
Because he knows I make journals. And
I was looking at that in your office, and I thought it was so cool.
He put Papa Troy on the pen. He put Papa Troy on that.
Wow.
And then on the inside, he wrote this thing, Papa Troy, thank you for being a beacon of hope to me, for rescuing children across the world with courage and with love. Your sacrifice restores lives. It brings lights where there used to be darkness. May God continue to strengthen you and protect you as you carry out this noble mission. I love you.
Wow.
Yep. And that's all I have to say about
that. Yeah, no, to not cry.
I love you too, Frank. Call you blessed, buddy. Well, let's talk about spiritual warfare.
Yeah. So episode 4.
Episode 4. Wow. So I don't even remember what we talked about the first. We talked about different species of angels. Last time we talked about sacred space. We talked about space.
About altering your space.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And
I think episode 2 was designated realms.
Designated realms. Wow, way to go, man. You got a great memory. Anyway. Today, we're going to be talking about the difference between authority and power.
Right.
So I get this phone call. So I have prophetic people and prophetic voices in my life from all over the world. And one is this Nigerian pastor lady that lives in London. And when I was there about 10 years ago at God TV, she spoke at the same conference that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a powerful, powerful, powerful woman of God. Just very Nigerian, very Nigerian. And what I mean by that is she's not afraid to get into your grill over anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so she always sends me voice. She's like, Troy, I had a dream about you. And this. Oh, Troy, the Lord is so pleased. But he's not happy about this. You need to make sure this is happening.
Oh,
and
wow.
I sound like, wow.
And that's nice counsel to have.
But it's good. Yeah, man. Always listen. Always send her thank you. It's great to have that. And here's what she said. She said, Troy, she said that she had a dream about me. And she said the Lord talked to her in this dream about me. And basically, Jesus was very pleased about how giving we are and all the difference we're making and all those kinds of things. But he told her in a dream, warn Troy, do not give up his authority by getting so good at using his gift.
Wow.
And this is like a year ago or 6 months ago or something.
Wow.
And she goes, be careful that you don't exercise your gifts so much that you forget about your authority. And it made me think right then and right there, I don't think I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking I confuse my gift and my authority, and I have to be sure that I know the difference. And this is why we have to have the Word of God within our life, because it divides things.
So true, yes.
Right on. So the language that you're using today is authority and power, specifically on power. What's the difference between the power we have and what's the difference between the authority we have? Before we start breaking all this down in the Bible, just give me your bottom spin on that. What does that look like for you?
My thought, what I immediately think of difference between power and authority is I think of a king that's ruling his kingdom. And I think of the authority being his right to sit on the throne.
Mm.
And I think of his power being his police force that goes out and actually makes sure that his will is being done. Like they're the hand of the king that's
making sure
that what his will has been or what his will is declared to be is being done in the kingdom.
Okay. So a good example might be, okay, if I'm rebuking the devil, and remember, there's all different kinds of devils and there's different ways that you have to fight different kinds of devils. And Jesus said this kind only comes out through prayer and through fasting. So they just couldn't use, they didn't have any power. They didn't have any power until they had authority.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it in your mind that brings authority into your life?
In my mind, it's your relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's how the intimacy, or really I think of it, it's fighting from the secret place.
Okay. So guys, we're going to unpack this because your proximity to Jesus is what gives you authority. And what gives you power is just Jesus. It's not anything that you earn. It's not anything you got to work for. It's not anything that you, your gifts and your power from God. You need to understand that power is a gift from God. So your gifts and your power from God is freely given to you. Now you can choose to receive it or you can choose not to receive it, but you don't like ramp up in your power because of your relationship. Okay. You ramp up in your authority because of your relationship. And so a good example of that is in the book of Jude, wherever the Bible says that he's quoting the book of Enoch and Jude, of course, the half brother of Jesus, Jude and James, and both Jude and James quote the book of Enoch, which means that was a big part of their spiritual upbringing was the book of Enoch. And they're both the half brothers of Jesus. And they're also the two meanest books in the New Testament.
In the New Testament, yeah.
Is Jude and James.
They were the ones who were most like, look, we're not here to
put up
nice.
Or shut up. Yeah. We're not going to be nice.
We're here to be real.
This is how it goes. If you lose your first estate, you will go to hell. Yeah. That's the book of Jude.
Yeah. short and sweet.
Yeah, short, very short. The shortest one, I think, besides... first, second, third John, but crazy. It doesn't even have chapters in it. It's such a short book. So I would encourage everybody to read the book of Jude and study it because there's things in the book of Jude that's not anywhere else in the Bible because he's quoting the book of Enoch, which before I go any further, I want y'all to know, I don't think the book of Enoch should be canonized. Mm-hmm. I think though we should know it.
Right.
Because I think the writers of the Bible assumed that we would know it.
I don't think they would have felt confident enough, especially the standard that ancient scholars held themselves to. They wouldn't have felt confident enough, I think, to include that if they weren't like, okay, it's at least worth knowing.
Yep.
Or, hey, we expect that this is still going to be well known in the future.
So those cats, what are they called? The Nicenes?
Nicenes?
Yeah, the Nicenes. I always get that wrong. But those cats, those zealous cats, you know, John the Baptist came out of those cats. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're crazy people.
Oh, right? Essenes.
Essenes. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sorry about that, guys. Y'all forgive me. So, but those guys, whenever they packed up the Bible and they put it in those caves and it was found the same year that Israel became a nation, the book of Enoch was there with the rest of the Bible.
Yeah.
Because they're like, the Essenes were like, hey, man, if you're going to read the Bible, you got to know this book as well. And so that was what everybody thought 2,000 years ago.
Yes. And one of my favorite things is how the book of Enoch uses son of man, son of man, son of man. And Jesus addressed himself as the son of man.
Which comes from the book of Enoch.
Exactly. And they would have known his peers and the people at that time, they would have known exactly what he was doing.
That's what I'm talking about. And so... So again, even Jesus just assumed that we would all know the book of Enoch. It doesn't mean that it's the Bible. It just means it's an important part of the understanding of all these things. And so it's kind of like, you know, I like to put it this way, Connie, that when it comes to like, you know, you're a huge Western, you love Western history.
I do.
I mean, you're I nut do. Over it. You always read Western novels, including my novel. You've read that one.
It is amazing. It's absolutely one of my favorite. I'm so excited for when it finally gets published and it's out because I think it's going to be one of your greatest books.
I can't wait to get it out. And I wouldn't have never wrote it if it wasn't for you.
That's insane.
And I would never release it unless you loved it.
That
is the truth.
No worry there. I love it. It's amazing.
And so I was just like, oh my God. If this passes the Connie test, then I'll let people read it.
Well, thank you. And that is an honor.
That was what I thought. I promise you that's the truth. So, okay. But I would assume if we're talking wide earth, I would assume you would know the movie Tombstone.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Like if you're into wide earth, you got to be into Tombstone.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you
have to be.
If you like Doc Holliday, and if you are interested in the gunfight at OK Corral, and if you're interested in that, you have to know and you should be able to quote the movie Tombstone.
Yeah.
That's exactly the way that the Book of Enoch is.
Right.
So the book of the movie Tombstone, I wouldn't put that in a library and call that a history movie, although it's based on history.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on history and it has a strong historical thread all the way through it. There's many things that are accurate, but it's a Hollywood movie.
Right.
It's not a history book.
Right.
It's not a documentary. Okay, the Bible is the Bible, but the Bible assumes if you're into this, you're going to be into the Book of Enoch.
Yes.
And that's the way, it's kind of like Tombstone.
Yeah.
That's the way it is to me. So I'm like, okay. All right. So in the book of Jude, the Bible talks about whenever Satan was fighting the archangel Michael over the body of Moses. Now, this is not in the Bible, but this is in the book of Jude.
Yeah.
And he's not referring to something that's in the Bible. He's referring to something that is in the book of Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
And so it lands in the Bible because Jude talks about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely in the book of Enoch. And he's like, okay, so what happened? What went down?
So we see this crazy scene, and you can just imagine it's like in the wilderness where Moses died. But you see it's Satan who's wanting the body of Moses, and Michael comes to contend against him for the body of Moses. And what happens is you see a display of like, okay, so I should probably preface it by saying that when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he didn't lose his power.
Yep.
He lost his authority.
That's right.
So he still had power to exercise for the body of Moses.
Yep.
And Michael had power to exercise for the body of Moses. And because they came to the standstill, I would think that they're probably about the same level.
Okay. So it's something like the modern equivalent of like Harry Potter. He's got his magic wand, the bad guy, whatever that dude's name is. He's got, and they're just, and they're doing that.
Right.
So it's power against power.
Right.
But then how did the archangel Michael overcome him?
He said, "The Lord rebuke you." Mm. He used the name of the Lord. He used the authority of the Lord God.
So it wasn't about his power anymore.
It wasn't
He
about
tried his
power.
Power.
He tried.
He tried, but he
that
couldn't
win.
That
wasn't enough.
He had to use his authority. So what gives Michael that authority?
He stands before the face of the Lord.
And that's what the other archangel, Gabriel said. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God.
Yes, that's my authority.
That is my authority. Mm-hmm. If I'm telling you there's going to be some magic happen between you and that old lady,
that woman.
There's going to be some magic that's going to happen between you and that old woman over there, and she is going to get pregnant,
right.
And she is going to give birth. And if I'm telling you that I have the authority to say this, don't ask me who I am.
Right.
I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. He's like,
This is my proximity.
This is me, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So your authority has to do with how you know Jesus.
So true. So true. And it's crazy to me that like we don't, I feel like I'm so unqualified, and it's just because of what Jesus did when he invited us into the Father. He adopted us into the family.
So good, Connie.
So we have this extreme proximity with the Father. And Jesus confirms that when he tells the disciples, hey, I've given you all authority over the powers of the enemy. And so it's just, I don't think that we realize just the magnificent work that Jesus accomplished on the cross and then with his resurrection, what he gave to us. Mm. Like, I feel like it's just constantly unfolding and unfolding and unfolding, like the reality of what he did.
So good. Okay, I'll tell you what, let's just go through these scriptures here. We have a whole bunch of scriptures here. And help me out here. We're going to talk about authority and power. So let's talk about the word for authority. So what is that word?
Exousia.
Okay, exousia. Really?
Yeah.
Somebody says that in one of their magic things in some movie. They say exousia.
Well, they're saying authority in Greek.
Okay, right on. So it means authority, right, jurisdiction, capacity, delegated influence, out from, to be, being as a right, a privilege. Okay. And then the word for power, what is that?
That's dunamis.
Yep. It's where we get the word dynamite from.
Yeah, it's so cool.
So I love that. Power, strength, ability, might, force, miraculous power, violence, able, ability to perform, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Okay. Healing, we know what that is. Deliverance, the authority to remove something, right? So healing is the removal of something, be it germ, sickness, or a demon, right? But deliverance is authority to remove a demonic being. So you can actually move in a healing gift and not move in your authority.
Yes.
Okay, so this is why so many people that are so gifted by God get so messed up.
Yes, sir.
And so, like, how is it that this dude, like, one of my favorite preachers ever, it came out that he'd been having a 40-year affair, had been molesting his interns, all kinds of sexual
That's
shenanigans.
A lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's
and
a lot.
I'll tell you, it broke my heart. It broke everybody's heart. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, but the guy was so gifted. Okay, that's the deal. Because you can, you Samson, can operate in your gift and walk away from the Lord. He didn't know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Right. He was no longer concerned about how close he was to Jesus.
And that's why his authority left. He didn't realize, he still thought he had power, but he didn't realize his authority was gone. That intimacy that he had with the Lord, that was a covenant that he had, that Nazarite vow of the hair. So he didn't realize that, oh, that's departed from me. I no longer have authority to operate in this power.
Sister.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, man, guys, the church has to know this stuff because you have such a great authority just in your walk. I want to talk to the old lady right now and tell you this. You think you don't have much to offer? Honey, you've got an authority that so many people do not have, and you're so valuable in the kingdom. You know, you might not have much going on in your life as far as the day that you're living in or whatever. Maybe your best days are going behind you, you know, concerning this, but not concerning your authority. How you walk with Jesus, the body of Jesus needs that so much. And that's where authority comes in. You know, I'm believing God for millions of dollars of breakthrough.
Right.
The Lord even told me, Troy, do not pray for millions of dollars. Pray for
hundreds of millions. Yes.
That, by the way, was the old Cracker Barrel prophet. The old Cracker Barrel prophet showed up at Cracker Barrel and he prophesied that to me. I went, okay, I need to do that. Now I know why. At that time, I had no idea why. I thought, what would I do with $100 million? Oh, I know now.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, if I had $100 million today, I would know exactly how to spend it. Because there's so much work to be done.
Right.
And there's so many kids to rescue. And then you got to feed them and you got to staff them and you got to do the stuff. And so... I'm going to keep talking about money here in a minute because I'm going to ask. I know that I've got some partners out there that you have a lot of authority, and I'm going to ask you to use your authority upon my behalf because I have a $4 million bill right now to finish every single project that we've started. So if I could finish everything that we've started and if they were all filled to capacity and if all of them were completely done and we had rescued the fullness of capacity of all the buildings we have right now, that would be $4 million. Okay, here's what I'm asking you. So the gift that you have is to give, which is awesome. This is the power of partnership. But the authority that you have is, you know, I am, and then you say your name, and I know my Jesus. I stand in the presence of the Lord. I'm seated with him in heavenly places, and I declare by the authority of God and by the will of God who told me to pray for this, that hundreds of millions of dollars are coming to Troy Brewer Ministries. And I want to ask you guys to do that, to use your authority. Use your gift the best that you can, but man, use your authority. That's a really big deal.
Yes, sir. And I don't know the address for it, but you actually just mentioned it a little bit ago where Jesus was saying to the disciples, this kind of demonic spirit, this kind comes out by fasting and by prayer.
Yep.
What that is, fasting and prayer, what that is, it's an atmosphere of intimacy with the Father.
Mm.
So that type of demonic presence came out when it was met with a greater level of intimacy with the Father.
Mm.
It wasn't a yelling match. It wasn't a sprinkle
of
water.
So the gift of deliverance would not work on that kind.
Exactly. It has to be your authority in the Father.
There are people like Pastor Greg Locke. He just has the gift of deliverance. Mm-hmm. You show his freaking movie and demons just start coming out of people. Like, wow, I'm doing a conference with him next week. I can't wait.
So cool.
And so, yeah, I love him. And so, and this is a guy, you know, who has he has the gift of deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Lance, who works for us.
Pastor Lance,
man, he's got the gift of deliverance, man. And I mean, he can sniff them out too. Mm-hmm. He'll do that. But there is a kind of demonic stronghold that shows up and says, your gifts will not work on me.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have authority.
Yes.
Oh.
And because that's how the spiritual realm operates, they can judge it instantaneously.
They can tell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a time of fasting right now, and I fasted yesterday. It's very hard for me to fast on Sundays because, you know, I preach on Sundays. And
and that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Sundays are a lot.
And today I've got a big thing to do tonight. And then I'm filming at Trinity Broadcasting Network all in the morning. And then we have the Pulse tomorrow.
Awesome.
But I don't want to go into this new year without fasting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to fast. I want to pray. I want to hear God speak. And I want to do those things. But fasting draws me closer into the presence of the Lord. It's an intentional place where you just say, Jesus, please do not resist me. I'm resisting everything that's natural to me. Mm-hmm. And you tell the Lord, please do not resist me. And he won't. He won't, because he's so good. I mean, there's nobody better than him. I love him so much. But I'm in a time of fasting right now, and it's not just about starving, and it's not about any of those things. It's about, I need to get closer to the Lord.
Don't we all? You have to be intentional. And I feel like it doesn't just come natural to any of us. I mean, I feel like when you're first saved, it does, because you know you're on this honeymoon kind of phase. But then you have to get really disciplined. And then you have to remember that, oh, I am in a battle, and this isn't going to come easy. I'm going to have to fight for this. But that's any relationship.
That's right. It is any. So authority is definitely greater than power.
Yes.
So power and gifts are amazing to have, and you need to have those things, but not at the expense of authority. So the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, behold, I give you the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Behold, I give you the exousia, that and over all of the dunamis of the enemy. Exousia is greater than
authority
dunamis.
Trumps power.
It sure does. Mm-hmm. It sure does. Okay, if you try to use a gift, power, to come against a demon, you will come to a standstill of power against power at some point. Okay, and when praying for the sick, you need authority. When praying for the deformed, you need power.
You need power.
Explain that.
Power. So the authority that you use when you're praying for the sick is to remove what shouldn't be there. So when you're operating in your authority, you're removing what needs to be removed. And when you're operating in power, you're then operating in the miraculous. So that's when you need something, like say that there's cancer has ravaged this person's body. So you curse the cancer, you cast it out, you get it removed. That's your authority. Then you command for the body to be rejuvenated, or the organs or the blood or the bones, whatever that was ravaged by the
Come
cancer
on.
To now be rejuvenated. That's you operating in the power.
Your faith has made you whole. Sister.
So they're like, you use them both, but you just need to understand that authority is greater than power.
Okay, and power is something that you receive. It's not something you earn.
Yes, sir. There's a scripture, I think it's in Romans. I know I have it here. It's Romans 11:29, where it says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable or without repentance.
Yep.
It's the things that he gives us to operate in power, those gifts, those talents, those are the things he's given us. Like, okay, this is what you have an anointing in. This is your gift. This is your power. And that's what you can operate in easily without using the authority. That's also how you can get caught up in like, oh, well, I operate in my gifts really well. I operate in this power really well. And you kind of just forget about the authority part.
And the proof in the pudding of that is the devil.
Yes, sir.
Because when he was cast out, he had no more authority.
No more
but
authority.
He still has his power.
Yes.
So even to demons,
mm-hmm.
the gifts and the power of God are without repentance. They are irrevocable.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And that's why you see in the garden, when the enemy comes and he tricks man, or the man falls and gives over their authority, he didn't trick them for the power. He still had that, but he didn't have the right to rule and reign or have jurisdiction the way that he wanted to. That was what we had. That's what mankind had. And so the enemy had to steal it from us.
Come on.
He already had the power. He just didn't have the authority. So when he took that right, that's when we lost it and he gained it. And then you see that when he, in Luke 4:6, when he takes Jesus to the pinnacle and offers him all these kingdoms, and he says, all this authority or all this exousia, I'll give over to you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I can give it to whoever I wish. Well, that was the authority that he took from the garden, from mankind. He wasn't worried about, hey, I can give you this power and you'll look cool. He was like, no, hey, look, I can give you this authority. It's mine. It belongs to me. And I can give it to you. Just bow down and worship me.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is good stuff. That's good stuff. All right, so authority is a result of obedience taken to submission.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get through this real quick, and then you know what? We will just all pray. I started having a yawning spell.
Yeah, no, I feel it.
I'm so sorry. Okay, again, fasting, you don't have much energy. So, so authority is a result of obedience taken to submission. When you receive power, number one, you got to receive power. Remember the whole thing?
Yes.
I don't remember who it was that Paul asked. He asked somebody, and he said,
it's in Acts. It's 19:2, and he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?"
And he said, "They said we haven't heard of it.
Yeah,
we don't even know no Holy Spirit."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Brother, you got to receive this power."
Yes.
And so he gave them power. Okay. So you don't have to. So number one, you do have to receive the power. And a lot of people deny the power thereof. They deny the power thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Oh, Alan DeDio has a coffee, and it's called, it's a famous preacher's name. And it's
the decaf.
Yeah, it's the decaf, because he said, it has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof.
Is it Calvin?
It's a Calvin. Yeah, it's his Calvinist coffee brand. It has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. So funny. No, you can deny the power, and you can choose not to receive the power. Here it comes again. Hang on.
I see you.
I've tried so hard. Please forgive me, guys. Hang on. Let me just breathe in and out here for me. Lots of oxygen. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. So, but it's given to you. So you give it to you, you actually receive it. But authority, you qualify for. You qualify. You have to be invited into the proximity of the presence of the Lord, and you have to walk into that place. And let me tell you what determines how close you are to God: your compatibility to Him, which means you have to lay down your life. It's just being married. It's just like being married. I'm so freaking married. I'm the most married person the universe has ever seen. I mean, I love being married. I love being married to Leanna Brewer. I love it. Okay, what's real is, if you're like, hey man, you guys have been married for 36 years, you guys have known each other for 40 years, how come y'all are still madly in love with each other? Because we're very intentional about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not intentional about it, we won't.
Right.
And I'm not willing to be. I'm not willing to be in a sorry marriage.
Yeah. No one wants a miserable marriage.
No.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
But it is worth being intentional about it.
So you get to constantly be intentional. Constantly mm-hmm. be intentional. Same way with your authority. You have to lay down your life, and you got to remain compatible, you know, with King Jesus, which you're like, are you saying that you're as holy as he is? Well, I'm saying I'm commanded to be.
Right. That's a good way. Yeah, that's a good answer.
I'm saying I'm commanded to be. So obviously I'm not like Jesus, but I am like Jesus in the sense of, if he tells me to lay down my life, and he says, Troy, come over here and leave that over there, take off your shoes and come over here to me, mm-hmm. right? That's what he does. You're going to leave something that you really need, but you decide you need him more, and you go after
Amen.
Him. You gain authority through that. It's not through your gifts that you gain authority. It's the gifts that bring you into the presence of great people, but it's your authority that keeps you there.
That's awesome. So good. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to pray for everybody, and then we'll go through this. I'll answer questions. And if you guys have a question or something like that, man, you guys put it down there. I'm going to pray for a minute, and then you pray. Can we do that? Let me yawn one more time. Okay, I'm good. Look, I don't ever do that. You guys put up with me, man. You guys put up with me. All right, here we go. Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord God, sir, for the revelation and the difference between gifts and authority. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, sir, that you give us both. God, you give us our gifts and our power, and you invite us into your authority. And Father, I pray, God, that we would have the grace, God, to be able to do that. I pray, Father God, sir, that none of us would give up our authority for the sake of our gifts. And I pray, Lord God, sir, that our greatest desire would be closer and closer and closer to you, Lord. And I love you, sir. I'm so grateful for you. Father God, sir, I want to pray for all of my partners and every single person, Lord God, sir, that partners with us. And I declare by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way that I know him, that they shall prosper, they shall excel, that no weapon formed against them will prosper, but that they will prosper, that their prayers are answered, that their burdens are lifted, that their fights are battled by the Lord God Almighty himself. Father, I love you, Lord. I declare in the name of Jesus, this is my declaration. My gift of declaration is that this entire $300,000 debt is paid for, that the building is finished. And by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare that those children are set free in the name of Jesus, and that they're raised by mamas and papas, and that slavery leaves them in every single way. Father, I lift up every burden that every single partner has, every question they have, and just declare, Lord God Almighty, sir, that you have a better yoke. And I pray, Lord God, sir, that you bless them and help them. I pray, God, that you would be a wall of fire around them and be the glory in the midst. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. All right, Connie.
King Jesus, Lord, I just want to thank you, Father, for the move that is happening across our country.
Yes.
On the heels of the Charlie Kirk martyrdom. And King Jesus, I know that I heard you, Lord, say that with the new people that are coming into your kingdom, the new brothers and sisters that are joining your kingdom, Lord, that you are a good shepherd. And you expect the church to rise up with shepherds that are honorable, that will honor the sheep, that will lead the sheep in a standard, King Jesus, that you would do, that they would come in the right way, Lord, that they would honor your people and these new little ones, King Jesus, that they would honor their hearts and be a guardsman over them. And they won't let wickedness come in, Lord. They won't let wolves in sheep's clothing come in and wreck the flock. And Lord, I ask that you would, Holy Spirit, in your power and in your church, Lord, that you would raise us up to be a people who operate in authority over power, and that your power would be displayed throughout your church, Lord, leading people into the love of God, leading people back into the truth, Father, and out of the darkness and the wickedness that has tried to gain a foothold in our nations. King Jesus, we claim the nations as yours. They will be made your footstool. King Jesus, every knee will bow before you. Every tongue will confess the glory of your name. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Father, would hover even now over the hearts of your people, would hover over these nations, Father, and bring forth the revival that is here, that it will be made manifest, Father. You are still creating, Lord. You are still powerful. Your miraculous works are still being displayed all throughout the earth. Father, give us a heart to know it, an eye to see it, and an ear to hear it. And Father, let us be the hands and feet that are in the fields harvesting your harvest, Lord. Let us be workers that are honorable before our King, our Lord, our Master, and our friend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, Father, I want to agree with everything, God, that Connie just prayed. And God, this great move of God that has taken place now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, sir, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would raise up just warriors, a whole army, Lord God Almighty, sir. And Father, I know, God, that as we enter into Rosh Hashanah, God, that you have a new word. God, there's a new word, and there's a new move of the Holy Spirit. Father God, I want to lift up Erica Kirk today and her broken heart. And I pray, God, that you bless her and comfort her. God, I want to lift up the security team of Kirk, of Charlie Kirk. Father, I know, God, that their hearts have been so broken. Father, help them, help them, help them, Lord God. Do great and mighty things, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord God. I love you and praise you and thank you. I declare all of our debt is paid off in the name of Jesus. Every single project we have is finished. Every child that we are capable of rescuing is rescued. And Father God, sir, you hear their voices. God, you know where they are. And Father, I love you and praise you and thank you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Okay. Dadgummit. Man, I just keep crying in front of everybody. The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Yeah.
Amen. Friends, I want to encourage you guys and tell y'all, the Spirit of the Lord is here today, man. He's here. And he's here for you, and he loves you. And I bless you. And, you know, Renee says that her sinuses have been mostly blocked for about 3 weeks now and disrupted her sleep and all kinds of things. Okay. I want you to stretch your hands towards whatever screen you're looking at right now. Renee, be healed in the name of Jesus. Father God, sir, I pray, Lord God, sir, for your daughter, Renee, And I declare, Father God, sir, that you are replacing, you are displacing whatever these allergies are, whatever this mess is. We rebuke it. We tell it to leave. And now, according to your authority, God, we speak to her sinuses. We say, be healed, be made whole in every way. And Father, we speak this word and we send it to her. Now, God, release your angels for the performance of your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm looking at all your stuff here, man. Hallelujah. Was raised in a church that threw a whole family out because their son spoke in tongues. I'm sorry to laugh, Lawrence. I'm really, really sorry. But I mean, I've been thrown out. I mean, talking about thrown out of a church. And there'll be a day you'll be able to laugh at that. There'll be a day that you'll be able to go, yeah, that's what God did. Yeah, we got in all kinds of trouble. My brother just started getting too close. He got too close to Jesus. Everybody got uncomfortable, man. There you go. Run on. Hey, I want to ask you this. Do you pray in the Holy Ghost?
Yes, that's mostly how I pray.
Yeah, I know that to be true. And I mean, you actually like pray an hour in the morning just in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and before sleep.
And before sleep, a whole hour. Mm-hmm. So what do you think that does?
It increases my intimacy with the Lord, and so it increases my authority.
Have you seen a difference in your life since you started doing that?
Yes, there are new battles to face.
Yeah, how about that? Uh-huh. How about that? Total agreement, every need met. Thank you, Diane. Devon says, my, something new. We're crossing over. Let's go, Devonna. Call you blessed, sister.
There's some questions here if you can't find any up on screen.
Okay.
I know they're kind of...
No, it's okay.
They're moving pretty fast.
No, that's okay. We're doing great. So you can ask me. Hello.
Oh, okay. So the first one that we have here is
healing. Healing in Jesus' name for everybody. Healing. Go ahead.
From Ashley Upchurch, she asks, do you believe that Enoch transformed into Metatron that is talked about in the third book of Enoch? I heard a theory about it.
Man, let me just say this. I'm completely ignorant of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I know a little bit about the book of Enoch. I mean, the first chapter especially, and I dabble in Enoch, but I'm sorry to disappoint you guys. I mean, I have no authority on Enoch and I have no idea what you're talking about. Metatron.
Yeah, Metatron.
So Metatron is the word that is used when Jesus said in the last day, there will be fearful sights. That's the word. Yeah. And it means like scary monsters.
Metatron. No, I thought that was Phobotron or something.
Never mind.
Yeah, okay. I was like, wait, what?
Never mind. It is totally Phobotron. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's good.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe, I mean, the Blurry Creatures guys, they wrote a book, got together with a book of Enoch. Maybe you can ask them about it when you're with them coming up soon.
I will, because I am going to be at the BlurryCon next month. Yeah. Are you coming?
I would.
I'll let you go. You want to go?
Yeah, I'll go.
I'll take you, man. Everybody's asking me if they can go with me. Everybody is like
take
well, they're sewed out, so I have to sneak you in the back door, you know. But that's all right. We're all back door friends. So it's all good. I'll get you in. I got some pool. I don't know if you know that
here
or not,
go.
But
yes.
I got some pool.
Hallelujah.
Okay, right on. So somebody just said, please pray for my alcohol addiction. Hey, Angela, I just want to I want to talk to you, tell you something. You're a good girl. And I bless you in Jesus' name. And you know what? Some of the choices we make, some of the things that we get involved in, we think, I can never really pray about this because of all the bad choices I've made. Yeah, whatever. You know what? Be set free in the name of King Jesus. And this alcohol demon that's cursing your life and all the things that have been in your life that have caused you to turn to it, I just declare a new freedom in the name of Jesus. May it be displaced by the Spirit of the living God. May you find hope in that, and may King Jesus make your path straight. In Jesus' name. Yep. This Metatron is the one perceived by the angel of the Lord to be the angel of the Lord, the one that had his name in it. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Well, it's a lot of fun, man, going through your stuff and looking at your stuff, guys.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun doing that. And do you have another question?
Oh, yeah. Christina Mullis, she wants to know, she says, I've been concentrating on my state. I am in the midst of a 40-day fast of water and coffee. It ends on October 10th. Gosh. A lot has unfolded for me. Will this help remove what is attached to my daughter that made agreement with the enemy? And what I cast out of my home?
Well, let me tell you, I haven't done a 40-day fast in a long, long time, but I have done 40-day fast before because I had to have a breakthrough. I had to have a breakthrough. Had to. And here's what I would say about that. If I was your natural dad, if I was your daddy, and if I saw how you was hurting and how desperate you was for me to be able to relieve that, I would step up and I would do that. And let me tell you what, your Father God is so much better than that. He's so much better than me. He's such a better dad than I am. He's amazing. Now, I think that what you find, this is what I have found on my 40-day fast. Again, it's been years since I've done a 40-day fast, but I used to be a fasting fanatic. I'm talking about like a nut. And for years, it was probably about a 15-year period in my life, maybe a 20-year period in my life, where we always did 21-day fasts, or we'd do 10-day fasts, or God would tell me to do a 5-day fast, and as soon as I get on it, God would say, now I want you to do 21 days. I'm like, from here? Like, wow. Or God would say, I want you to do another 10 days, Troy. I want you to give me a few more days.
Wow.
What you will find is the same thing all of us find in the midst of our fasting, is that God, once we get into that place, what he does is unexpected things. And what he shows us is not where he takes us. It's not where we thought he was going to take us. So I would say that all these things are added unto you when you seek first the kingdom. And that's what you're doing. So you keep on doing that. That's awesome. Awesome. Yay. You got another one there?
Yeah. Ashley wants to know, why did they want Moses' bones? I noticed there's a value for our bones, but what is it?
Okay, when it says that they were contending for the body of Moses, I'm not sure that it was his bones. I think it was actually Israel.
Oh, well, I've never thought of that. Because they were baptized
his body. Yeah. That's exactly right.
That's awesome.
So I don't know, because the Bible says that God hid the body of Moses. Mm-hmm. He killed him. God actually killed him.
Yes.
He's like, come here, boy. Come here, I got to show you something. And here's how he killed him. He went, ta-da. Because right. He said, in the day that you see me,
you'll die.
You're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so when God Almighty told Moses, it's a good way to go. When God told Moses, get up here, boy. It's time for you to die. He couldn't get up that mountain fast enough because he knew what that meant. He's like, show me your glory. He's like, okay, I'm going to show you, man. Are you ready? Like here. Boom. Okay, then God had to bury him. God literally buried him. So there was something about his physical body. Right? They would have made...
Yeah, he would shine.
Yeah, there was something crazy going on. They would have built a church out of his bones the way the Catholics have and all kinds of craziness. So there's no telling, you know, what they would have done. And the Bible does say that there was a contention for the body of for Moses. But I also would consider it was a contention for those that was about to enter into the promised land because the Bible says they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud. When they crossed the Red Sea, they were baptized unto Moses. Okay. Wow. Another question.
Another one. So Aaron Ash is asking about people that are saying that the rapture is going to happen tomorrow on September 23rd.
Right on. Well, I want to tell you, I am really good friends with Alan Zio. I mean, he's like one of my very best friends. Joseph Z is one of my very best friends. Rick Renner is one of my very best friends. I don't know Rick as good as I do Joseph and Alan, but I love Rick, and we talk all the time, and we're all brothers. Okay. Oh, my boy Alan did a full hour and a half on, let me tell you why Jesus is not coming back this
Rosh Hashanah.
Man, I want to just say, I would never do that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. And again,
yeah, that
it's
was
okay.
A lot.
I'd never disagree with Alan. I never do. But it's okay. We don't all have to.
Right. No.
I mean, we're all human beings. We're not one robot. We're all human beings. I got a good reason why Jesus could come back tomorrow. You want it?
Yeah. Why?
You know what the Gematria, a Feast of Trumpets, is?
No.
It's 923.
Well, then.
I'm not saying that Jesus is coming back tomorrow.
Right.
What I am saying is, man, it's worth looking into.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look into it. Let's have fun with it. Yeah, but it's going to cause people to be disturbed. They're a bunch of pansies.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for them. J.R. Church came out. I was a young man. He had 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 88. I went and bought that book. And I was devastated when Jesus didn't show up in 1988. Devastated. And I went, that's what I get.
Like, what is this?
But there was... It's okay to be mm-hmm. looking for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus
Christ. You would rather be watching than not.
Yeah. And I would say, again, Joseph and Alan are both smarter guys than me. And they probably got a bunch of reasons to, you know, to debunk the whole thing. But I'm like, you know, in the last days, the Bible says that there will be mockers who says, where is his appearance?
Gosh,
what happened?
Those people, I can't.
The same mockers showed up to Elisha and said, go up, you bald head. Where's your rapture?
And then the she bear.
Do you know what it means to call somebody a bobhead, a bald head? It means to call them the B word.
Ooh.
Because prostitutes shave their heads. That's and male
horrible.
Prostitutes would completely shave their heads and wear a wig. That's why they're calling him the B word. They're calling him a boy prostitute. And they're making fun of him because they're like, dude, where's your rapture? Happened to Elijah. How come it don't happen? Where's your... Go up, you bald head.
So rough.
He's like, where's your rapture, B? That's what they're saying.
So they need it. What happened?
Yeah. So he... all of a sudden, two she-bears appeared and mauled to death all 42 of them.
Well earned.
Just went from person to person to person to person to person and just mauled them to death.
Wow.
And I want to tell you, I promise you... Alan DeDio is the most pro-rapture human being. I mean, he's the best rapture guy I've ever heard in my whole life.
Oh,
nobody preaches better about the rapture than Alan. And he's got that book, They Lied to You
about
the Rapture.
The rapture
he's so controversial. but they're adamant about, hey, I don't think that we should be looking for the return of Jesus tomorrow. I disagree. I respectfully disagree with my mm-hmm. very good friends that I would take a bullet for. I want to look for the return of Jesus today and tomorrow. And I promise you, Alan and Joseph do as well. I promise you, they are looking for Jesus every single day. They just don't like sensationalists and clowns mm-hmm. messing with the rapture.
Yeah.
And so I'm respectful about that. But it's 7 years to the day of when the Revelation chapter
12 sign.
Yeah, the revelation, 7 years to the day. That happened on September the 23rd, 7 years ago to the day.
Gosh, I remember that. It feels like it was...
It was 7 years ago, little girl. You're going to be old before you know it.
I know. I'm like, what is
that
happening?
Beautiful black hair is going to be white.
No, I'm excited. I love gray hair.
Okay, well, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I am for that.
Just tell you right now. And I will make fun of you whenever that happens. I'm like, there it is, Connie. I'm seeing it.
Hunter will help you.
I'm seeing it. Oh, look at how white my hair is, man. Look at that. Gray looks good on everybody except for yourself. That's the way gray works. I love gray on everybody, but I don't like gray on me.
I like gray. I think
you really, yeah, Leanna does too. I told her all the time, Mom, I'm shaving on my beard. It's just too white. She's like, no, I want to see that. I like that. But I do have this cool, I don't know what this brown is right here, but I like that. I like that brown. I don't know why I'm sharing this with everybody, but I just thought I'd share
it. Okay, well, we have two more.
But by the way, 923 is also the gematria for Feast of Trumpets.
Feast of Trumpets.
It's 923, and tomorrow is 923.
Wow. I would be watching.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. I'm watching, but I'm watching every day anyway, right. So praise God. All right, go ahead.
So Patricia Donovan, she wants to know, can one lose salvation if they start going down the wrong path again?
Well, it depends on what you call salvation. And this mm-hmm. always comes up, you know. Tori, don't you believe in once saved, always saved? I absolutely do. Okay, then good. But if you're saying to me that, hey, I'm completely saved, and what makes me saved is, you know, I walked an aisle or whatever, I gave my heart to Jesus, I just want to just tell you this. You have to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to be an overcomer. And I mean, again, the book of Jude says, let me show you how it works. You can have an estate with the Lord, and then you can walk away from it, and you will go to hell. That's what the book of Jude says. I mean, that's what the whole book of Jude is about. It's about, do not think. He goes, look here. God Almighty delivered those cats out of Egypt, and they still died in the wilderness
mm-hmm.
because they wouldn't walk with God.
And I would also remember when Paul talked about how he buffets his own self so that he doesn't lose his own reward.
Mm-hmm. I would just Now, I want to tell you this. I don't think it does any good at all about worrying about losing your salvation, because my salvation is in Jesus. I trust that Jesus knows me, and I trust that I'm saved, and I don't worry about being saved. Now that I've said that, I worry about being close to the Lord. I don't want to get away from God and not realize that I no longer walk with him because I'm gifted or because of whatever. And I do walk in the fear of the Lord of that. I mean, I just think I would encourage everybody to do this. You guys are going to think I'm a nut. You want to have your own personal revival? Go watch near-death experiences of heaven and hell and spend a couple of hours watching that. I do it all the time. And I go, oh, I need to get myself right. I'm not walking in enough fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I'm very serious about that. But I think that there's a lot of people that are... I think that there's a lot of Christians that are not saved.
Yeah.
They're cultural Christians. Yeah. They know the Bible. They know church. They're good people. They're cultural Christians, but they don't know Jesus. And and they're like, wait a minute, I got saved. I think, like, okay, do you think that there's pastors in hell? Yeah, I do think that there are pastors in hell. I sure do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sadly. I remember that book. There's a book on heaven and hell. This wild lady had this encounter. She went to hell. She said that she saw this guy, and she knew that he was a pastor. This is when she was in hell. And he was in this box, and these demons were poking spears in that box and pulling it out. And the Bible says that if you go to hell, you'll be pierced with many sorrows. And all that guy yells 24 hours a day in hell is no hope, no hope, no hope. Every time they poke him, he screams, no hope. I never forgot that. I don't want everyone to forget that. And so I do believe that we are the possession of the Most High God and that we are secure. Now, I want to tell you, that possession, like, okay, being the possession of the Lord, where he says, now I shall hold you in my hand and none shall pluck you out. That doesn't happen until Jesus comes back. So I would say this, you hold on by faith and you hold on by the love of God. And I would say, do not let go. Do not let go. Maybe there's something I'm painfully ignorant of. I think that we're going to be surprised at the people that are in heaven, and the people, I think we'll also be surprised at the people that are not.
I agree, because of that one scripture. And I love when you say, you know how not to be afraid of that scripture is just know Jesus. But I think there's going to be a lot of people that think they're going with Jesus, and he's going to be like, no. And I think there's a lot of people who think that they're going to hell, not realizing that they actually had served Jesus during their lifetime. Because he's like, when did we ever give you a cup of water? When did we ever visit you in prison? And he's like, well, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me.
Dude, Jean King put it on. Yeah, she said that's in the book, The Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Baxter. It sure is. Man, wow. She remembered that dude too. Dude, that was like 30 years ago when I read that book, but I've never forgot that. Went, whoa. Me and Leanna was actually talking about this on this morning. We had such a beautiful back porch time, and then my son showed up. Like, but that's okay. He brought my grandbaby over, so it's all good. I had to go anyway. I were out there. And she was saying, I was asking, I said, so what was the thing that got you the most? What was your highlight of the trip? And what was the thing that gave you most joy? What was the thing that shocked you the most that you had no idea about, good or bad? And what was the thing that was really bad? And she said, let me tell you the thing that was bad first. I said, mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, mind you, she has been in Sri Lanka, been in China, she's been in India. She'd been in South Korea. She was in Japan. She was in Indonesia. She was in Malaysia. She was in Tanzania. She was in Uganda.
Oh, in Singapore.
In Singapore. And she was in Qatar. All within...
Yeah, it was a really short amount of time.
She's been in all these places all over the planet. And so she's so exhausted right now. She's just so... she's so exhausted. So... she said, Troy, we were in a certain country. I'm not going to tell you which country it was. And she said, we did the pastor's thing. Mm-hmm. And so we had all of these pastors. And she said that all these pastors, you know, there's like 500 pastors in there. They're very traditional cultural people of their culture, of their language, of their part of the world. We have total respect for that.
We love that, as a matter of fact. And she said they do food outreaches because we're there. Mm-hmm. And so they feed the people. They dig water wells because, you know, we pay them to dig water wells, and they dig their water wells. And she said, we all get together. I'm up there and I'm preaching the gospel. She said, this little street kid comes in, and she said, she's like 7-year-old child. And she's thinking that there might be food there because, you know, that was, and she said, man, those guys jumped up, started slapping her around. Like, get out of here. We don't have no kids in here and all this. And Leanna shut the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. And she preached holding that little girl on her lap.
That is awesome.
That's so her, right?
That's so awesome.
Okay, but here's the deal. She's like, Troy, they know how to do ministry, but they do not know Jesus. They just thought that was an American thing.
Wow.
They're like, you're stupid American. You take care of all these kids. That's not necessary. And she's like, they do not know Jesus, Troy. She goes, over and over and over again, I saw it. They don't know Jesus. They know how to do ministry in their culture, but they don't know Jesus. And she said, some of those guys have been pastors for 60 years. You know, they're old men. And she goes, they do not know Jesus.
How do you go that long though, and you don't hear the voice of the Lord? You don't see his heart. I don't understand how you can go that long.
You substitute it with your gifts, and then you make a religion out of your own gift. And you're like, I know I'm godly because I prayed for this guy and he got to. I know I'm godly because I preached and that guy got saved. I know I'm godly because, and that becomes your barometer for how of your proximity to the Lord.
Oh, that's scary.
Isn't that scary?
That's scary.
That scares me. Well, friends.
Oh, before we close, sorry.
Yes.
There's been a lot of requests for prayer for healing for mental and physical ailments. So if you could close out praying for people to be healed mentally and physically.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's do this. Come on, y'all pray with me right there where you're at. Father God, I want to lift up my friends all over the world. Anybody that is sick, anybody that is not right in their mind or in their spirit or in their soul or in their heart, I speak and I declare healing. Just receive it right there where you're at. Just say, I receive that in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are our hope, sir, and I'm looking unto you right now. And Jesus, please see all of these who have partnered with me, who care about these children, Lord, that do you love. And I pray, God, that you'd meet every need, fight every battle, bear every burden, heal every single form of sickness, Lord Jesus. And I love you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my goodness, Connie, it's been so good having you on board today.
Yeah, today was a really good episode.
It was good. Yeah. It was a lot of fun, right on. Guys, I want to encourage you guys to go to odx.tv and watch all of these things. And keep on keeping on, guys. I will be tomorrow. I will be back, and I will be on for the next edition of The Pulse. And, guys, we're doing a big-time Rosh Hashanah word tomorrow. So until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. And I want to tell you this, my friends. Keep your gloves up. Fight the good fight. God bless you so much. Bye-bye, everybody.